AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Monday, October the 6th, 2025. We, as always, thank you for listening to AFR. Well, joining me in studio this morning is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Hi there, Tim.
You're my brother too, Fred, but I don't often call you. I don't know why I don't call you that, but yes. So, fellas, we got Share-a-thon coming up here at AFR, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Starting tomorrow.
What are we going to be doing here, Ed?
Well, we are going to be interacting with our possibly billions of listeners, okay? Might be a slight exaggeration. Yeah. Share-a-thon, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3 days in the fall, 3 days in the spring. We come to our listeners and we ask them to help support American Family Radio so we can stay on the air for another 6 months till the next Share-a-thon. And our listeners are great to support those who can support the ministry. So this show, for example, will be on during Share-a-thon for 2 hours instead of just the 90 minutes, but all through the day, we will be encouraging people to give support the ministry.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, Fred, Share-a-thon time.
Absolutely. And one of the aspects of Share-a-thon that I just really enjoy is the testimonies that we get from our listeners, because that is so encouraging to us to see how God is using American Family Radio to bless the lives of so many people across the country. And, you know, testimonies about listening to a program and they heard the gospel and they accepted Christ as their savior. Testimonies from people. I'm amazed. I have AFR on 24 hours a day at my house, that sort of thing. So it's a great time of encouragement for us folks. So we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Share-a-thon tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, 3 days in the fall, 3 days in the spring. But as you know, if you're listening to Share-a-thon, we don't just sit here and say, send money, send money, send money, send money. Although that would be a good subliminal approach, I think. But I'm not sure it would work.
Right.
So we're going to stick with our traditional radio programming, and it'll be a lot of fun and interaction, as you say, Fred, with hearing back from a lot of our listeners and interviews we're going to do. And we'll cover some of the news of the day. So we will be here again tomorrow morning. I'm going to be on with Jenna at Jenna Ellis at 7 Central. I think we start at 6.
Yeah, I'm going to be here at 6.
Yeah. Fred Jackson and Bert.
Brother Bert.
Brother Bert Harper.
Yeah. It's got the alarm set.
And there's a contrast in geography right there. Yeah. Bert from Mississippi and they're going to be, and Fred from Canada, they're going to be joining together.
Mm-hmm. Teaming up.
That north meshing with the south is going to create a tornado of. where am I going with this?
Stay tuned.
But I will say this. Tim, that's kind of what American Family Radio does.
Yeah.
It brings people together.
That's right.
You know, people from varied backgrounds,
that's right.
Dialects, which you'll get two different dialects,
yes, you will.
Fred and Bert.
Yeah, you choose which one you want to.
And Fred and Bert, were they, you know, that was a great duo on Sesame Street.
And then Ernie came along.
Yeah.
Hey, Bert. Kicked Fred out. Fred became a bird.
Yep.
After that. All right. You're listening to today's issues on this Monday, October the 6th. What's our first story, Fred?
Well, this story needs a whole lot of prayer. I'll tell you right now, negotiators for Hamas terrorists and Israel, the United States will send representatives. This is talks. They're at a Red Sea resort right now. This is aimed at seeing if President Trump's peace plan that we learned about last week, his 20-point peace plan, if they can actually bring this off. Now, the Hamas terrorists, tomorrow is the two-year anniversary of that massacre that occurred on October the 7th, 2023. Right now, we have, they say, about 48 hostages, 20 of whom are alive. And at the top of this agenda, now Hamas has indicated they are willing to release these hostages. However, as we say, it's a 20-point plan. There are other things that are not committed to yet. We'll put it that way. For instance, part of this plan calls for Hamas to relinquish all control, to disarm. Hamas has not said yet they're willing to do that. There are some other things, complication. What happens? Israel's supposed to withdraw under this plan completely. And I believe there's some nervousness amongst that. Now, Secretary of State Marco Rubio was asked about all of this. He put it very well, what's at stake here. Cut number four.
The second part of this, and it's going to be a much tougher part of it, is what happens after that? Who's going to run Gaza moving forward? It can't be Hamas. It can't be a terrorist organization. And the demobilization of terrorism in Gaza is the end goal here in terms of ensuring that this never happens again. That whole place has to be rebuilt. That's not going to happen in 72 hours or 6 weeks. I mean, that's going to take some time. But this is the closest we have been. This is the most progress we have seen.
Now, Israeli UN Ambassador Danny Dannon, now, he's hoping for peace, but he said Israel is ready to finish the job if they can't come to a settlement here. Cut number three.
We pray that the Hamas will go along. You never know with those guys. You know, it's a terrorist organization. We had a bad experience with them, so we are hopeful, but we never know what they will do. And I hope that they will accept the deal. If they will not do that, we will have to do it the hard way.
Now, this morning I heard a very, very compelling interview with one of those Hamas hostages that was released. Eli Sharabi is his name. He was on with Fox this morning. He was held by the Hamas terrorists for 16 months. The Hamas terrorists on October 7th, 2023, killed his wife and children, and then he was held for 16 months. He talks about what it was like being held by Hamas. Cut number five.
Was there anyone there that spoke up and said, this is not right?
Oh, no way. It's not why they kidnapped us. For them, it was more than right. And they wanted to make us suffer. And, you know, their rage and hate was everywhere. We've been humiliated daily basis, asking permission to go to the bathroom, to speak, to breathe. We begged for food every day. Sometimes it was violence against us. One day they broke my ribs, but the starvation was the worst thing ever. When I was on October 7, I was more than 70 kilos. And when I was released 16 months later, I was 44 kilos.
He's talking pounds. He's talking what we would refer to as pounds.
Yes.
His weight.
Weight.
Yeah. His weight dropped drastically.
Yeah. He had to beg for food. They broke his ribs.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do to hostages.
They're monsters.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Hey, Ed?
Well, I got to say I'm kind of pessimistic about this whole thing. This would be great if Hamas agreed, but I don't trust terrorists. Okay, I've said this a lot. I don't trust communists. I don't trust terrorists. And Hamas is a terrorist organization. I find it hard to believe that even though part of this deal would be that Hamas or any other terrorist organization are not going to be allowed to run Gaza, But I think Hamas would be in the background. Mm-hmm. I think whoever was running Gaza would be a puppet organization. So I know that Israel's under tremendous pressure, I think, from President Trump to get this deal done. President Trump, I think, over the weekend mentioned the fact that Israel has lost a lot of support from around the world because they continue to prosecute this war against Hamas to try to finish that organization. So we'll see. I think, obviously, people can pray that there would be peace in that part of the world, but I don't see a terrorist organization that has been committed to the elimination of the state of Israel making any deal long term that will prevent them from trying to see that come to fruition.
Do you think we, as American Christians in Canada too, but Christians in the West, but particularly in the U.S., care more about this situation because it involves the Holy Land?
I think so. Nope. Yeah. I think so. Because now I'm sure there are Christians in our country who care about and should care about what's going on to Christians in Nigeria, for example. But I don't think we pay attention to a lot of the kinds of intertribal, ethnic skirmishes and wars that are going on in other parts of the world. But we do have a particular interest, obviously, in the Middle East because it's the land of the Bible. It's, you said, the Holy Land. There's biblical prophecy that we expect at some point will begin to unfold or continue to unfold. So that I think that absolutely that's of particular interest.
Also, the Jews go back thousands of years,
yeah,
and God has a covenant with the Jews, right?
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
And that's also in the scriptures. So it's not that Christians don't care about what's happening other places around the world. We always should. But there are places that are especially important to Christians, and obviously Israel, and in a broader way, the Middle East is one of those, is one of those places.
Just my opinion, but I'm getting concerned about President Trump's attitude towards Israel. He said some things on the weekend that we cannot repeat on the air. But here was one quote. He said, "Bibi went too far in Gaza, and Israel lost a lot of support in the world." And Trump went on to say, "Now I will bring back all that support."
Bibi's referring to Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah, Bibi went too far.
Prime Minister.
What would America do,
right,
if there was a terrorist group just over the border in Mexico? And Bibi has mentioned this, Netanyahu has mentioned this, if you take the population equivalent, let's say October 7, 2023, the terrorist group just over the Mexican border came in and massacred 40,000 Americans. That's what we're talking about here.
Right.
That's the percentage-wise.
Percentage-wise.
Yeah.
And what would we say if some UK leader or president of France said, "Hey, America, back off. You've done too much. You've blown this." We would tell them to go pound sand.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I think President Trump is at the point he wants a victory. He wants a foreign policy victory, even if it costs Israel something. And that concerns me.
Yeah. Well, me too. We'll see where this goes in the next few days. I don't think Israel should be pushed or forced into a agreement with a ceasefire or end of the war if that it's going to leave them more vulnerable again, because now's the time to end this. You'll never end the ideology of Hamas. That is that all Jews should die.
Right.
And that the Palestinians there should take over the country of Israel, push the Jews into the sea, right? I mean, that's basically what their charter calls for. But anyway, we'll see. It's a very volatile situation right now. What I don't understand sometimes with President Trump is he'll just flip on a without, like, is there a deadline here or not?
No, not right now.
Okay, but he said there was, and now...
Yeah, he said yesterday, Sunday, was the deadline.
Okay.
And so there's obviously no settlement yet.
So there is no – Sunday wasn't a deadline.
No.
Okay. That's what I'm saying is he – I would rather him say there is no deadline.
Yeah.
Than to say there is a deadline and then that it passed and then and nothing happens. Mm. Which so anyway, we'll Ed, your thoughts on President Trump on this situation? He desperately wants a Nobel Peace Prize, and he really has
done quite a bit. I mean, in his first term, he had the Abraham Accords. He is trying to get deals done around the world. He tried to get a conclusion to the war between Russia and Ukraine. Russia wasn't having any of it, and to some extent, Ukraine, understandably, was not willing to give up a third of its country. President Trump is trying to get peace deals.
But see, this is where President Trump, again, sometimes when you're critical of President Trump, people say, well, you don't need to be because, you know, he's God's anointed for America.
Right.
Okay. But I'm talking politically here. Sometimes President Trump does things that you just can't. I guess it's 3D chess, right? That's what we're told, right? Because he said about a few months ago about Ukraine that they need to give it up because there's no chance for them to win. There's just going to be more death and destruction. They need to surrender a third of their country or whatever like that. Then, like, 2 weeks ago, he goes, hey, Ukraine may take all of their territory back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You just don't know.
And I think over the weekend, President Trump said he's considering sending cruise missiles to Ukraine, which will give that country the capacity to reach Moscow, which I think leads us closer to an open conflict with Russia.
Why would you say something like that?
I don't know. I don't know why you – first of all, I don't know why you consider – since he's been wanting to keep us out of conflicts in Europe,
right.
I don't know why you even consider, even privately, consider sending sophisticated weapons to Ukraine, which could draw us into a conflict. You know, Russia's already been buzzing some of the NATO countries with drones and even some minor incursions with aircraft.
Yeah.
They all already look like they're itching for a fight with NATO, which I think would be foolish on Russia's part. But Trump promised to keep us out of wars like that. So I don't know why you, and certainly you don't publicly.
Are you sure he said that?
Yeah, I'll check and find out the circumstances.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, because I didn't read that anywhere, and I read the Daily Mail. And if it's not in there, then I don't know that I think it's newsworthy. So, all right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, the negotiations go on today in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas. Now, the interesting thing is there that the Arab countries that surround Israel have signed off on this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So they want Hamas to surrender, basically, their weapons, lay down their weapons, and, discontinue the fight.
Yeah.
So what are you going to quote now?
This is from the BBC.
Yeah.
Trump considering supplying Ukraine with long-range missiles. Vance says the U.S. is considering a request by Ukraine for long-range Tomahawk missiles, U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance has said. However, Vance added President Donald Trump will be making the final determination on the matter. So
you agree with that?
No, I don't think we should be doing that.
Right.
Because Ukraine, listen, they've been taking a beating. Huh. All right. Even some of their cities. You remember how they touted the drone attack, a couple of successful drone attacks. If we give them Tomahawk missiles, they're gonna aim for Moscow to do damage to Russia because of the damage that Russia's done to Ukrainian cities. And what if they killed high-ranking Russian officials? Those missiles came from us. The fact that a proxy nation used our missiles to attack the capital of Russia could draw us into an armed conflict. What if Russia says, okay, they did that, so we're going to attack American interests, or we're going to attack Poland. These are the kind of things. Oddly, I've been listening to a podcast about World War One. Several podcasts on the subject, and it is really strange how very small things can start a world war. And I don't want to see us involved. I don't want to see anyone involved in a world war. I don't want to see us involved simply because we decided, well, all right, let's just give them Tomahawk cruise missiles.
Yeah.
I just don't agree with it.
I think it is safe to say at this point that the summit in Anchorage back, about a month ago, that accomplished nothing. There was a great deal of optimistic talk coming out of it. But, I mean, Putin went home and he started firing.
Yes.
Again, drones. I mean, there's.
Yeah, I think he played Trump right there.
I think you're right.
Huh? I think he played Trump right. Trump doesn't get played by a lot of people, but Putin has got him fiddling.
Yeah. Putin has clearly in mind what he wants in Ukraine. He either wants it under direct Russian control or, as one of the military prime ministers, defense department officials, whatever you call them, Lavrov, he said there will never be a government in Ukraine that is not pro-Russian.
Yeah.
That's what Putin intends. And as long as the U.S. and NATO are not explicitly going to get involved in it, Putin's going to do what he wants.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening, Tim, Fred, and Ed. By the way, did you guys see where hundreds of people are stuck on the slopes of Mount Everest?
Yeah.
Because of a massive snowstorm. I guess it was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are in serious peril up there.
That part of the world, you're going to be in danger. It's dangerous when the weather's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who goes to rescue them?
Well, that's the problem.
You know?
How do you do it?
Yeah.
And I mean, if the mountain has got fog or whatever on the top there, the storm is still continuing. There's no way you can set down there.
I've read about Mount Everest because I'm never going to hike to the top. Do you call it a hike?
I don't climb.
Climb? Anyway, I've read some stories about Mount Everest. It's the tallest mountain in the world.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. How many feet? Anybody know how many feet?
I will. I'll look that up.
Good trivia question.
You want me to save it for
But there are, well, no, that's okay. There are, okay, I don't mean to sound morbid, but it's 29,000 feet. Now, I've hiked 23,000 feet a couple times.
Have you?
Yeah, just training for basketball season.
Okay.
And the air up there is just, it's hard to, you know, you can't jump very high. It's hard to get a basketball goal up there.
So while other basketball players were running stairs,
I'm climbing mountains.
At the gym, you were climbing mountains.
Again, that never 29,000 feet.
Right. But, you know, you'd
23 right in there. You know, that's
got yourself in shape.
But I've seen people, again, I don't mean to sound morbid, but I don't know how else to describe this. All these hikers that have, they're going up the mountain, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about current.
Yeah.
And about every mile, they see a dead body.
Yes, because no one's going up there.
That's green boots from the 70s.
Yes.
Okay, that kind of thing. I mean, it's really treacherous and dangerous. And, but I don't think they've ever had a situation like this where you have all these hikers, hundreds of them, stuck.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't get a helicopter up there. To land hardly. So I don't know what's going to happen to these poor folks.
And like you said, it is dangerous. So you can't just send – it's not like someone getting lost in Yellowstone where you can send people out to look for them without endangering the search party.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred, thank you for listening to AFR on this Monday, October the 6th. Tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, again, Thursday follows Wednesday. That's how it works, right?
Absolutely.
So Tuesday, right, Wednesday, Thursday, we have Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. So we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to talk with people from around the country who listen to AFR. We're going to do interviews. We're going to take your phone calls. So be prepared to call us and make a donation and be as generous as you can. God sees. Did I say something wrong?
No, God does see. I didn't get
to finish my sentence. Hold on a second.
Okay.
God sees your heart.
Yes.
And knows, you know, what you're capable of.
Right.
And so get ready to.
And you're saying that cuts both ways.
Listen, you know what? In all seriousness, the Lord has always provided for us here at AFA and AFR over our 40-plus years of existence. So things won't be any different this time. Our listeners who value the ministry of AFR will come through again tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. And Thursday night, we'll be happy.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be happy with the results. So we want to thank everybody for, because listen, folks, you know, we can't make it without, we're not a station or a radio network that gets, there's not a big billionaire somewhere underwriting our existence. Right. There's not, we don't get any government money, nor would we take it if it were offered. We are supported because strings are attached when you take government money. We are supported by people who write, who give us $50 a month, $100 a month. They may write a $1,000, $2,000 check during Share-a-thon. That's people being very generous. So those are the salt in the earth folks out there who believe in our mission, who support us on a regular basis. So on a monthly basis, that's what if we can count on your donation for once a month, you know, a draft or whatever, that's the best way to go. All right, you're listening to AFR, Tim, Ed, and Fred. Next story, Fred.
Well, we all know that President Trump scored a victory for sure when he sent National Guard troops into Washington, D.C. They have seen a tremendous decrease in crime there. Of course, legally, he didn't have a problem because it is the District of Columbia, not a state. But we all know that President Trump believes places like Chicago and Portland, Oregon, and Los Angeles have a real crime problem. and he believes that he, I want to send troops in there, particularly to support federal buildings, ICE buildings in Chicago, in Portland, Oregon. Well, on the weekend, a judge who he appointed in his first term, U.S. District Judge Karen Immerkut, she ruled against him. She said you cannot assign Oregon National Guard troops into Portland to deal with the violence that we have seen, some of their protests outside of ICE headquarters there in Portland, Oregon. The Trump administration turned around within hours and said, okay, we'll move California National Guard troops up there. Well, this judge was not too pleased with that. She rendered almost immediately another decision saying, no, that you can't. And she said she was quite insulted that the Trump administration would do that. So remember, what he wants to do, National Guard troops, to help protect these ICE and federal facilities in these Democrat-run cities. Well, Fox legal analyst Greg Jarrett says the law says the president has the authority to send troops in there. Cut number eight.
The governing statute, which authorizes the president to act as he is, was broadly written by Congress. It does not prevent the president from mobilizing the National Guard for use in a neighboring state like California. Just the opposite. The law specifically says that the president can call into federal service units from any state. It does not say the Guard is restricted within its own state. And of course, once the president federalizes troops, well, the jurisdiction extends federally across state boundaries. And the judge's backup argument is the 10th Amendment, which, as you know, reserves powers to the states, not right. delegated to the federal government. But wait a minute, Congress did delegate right. National Guard power to the president, and he's exercising it.
Okay, let me ask you this, see if you know the answer. Just to simplify this for our listeners. In Portland, and I don't know about Chicago, you have ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement Agency, they're going out and arresting people to deport them.
Correct.
Because these people have committed crimes, they're drug dealers, they're gangbangers, whatever the case may be. So they're arresting the worst of the worst, right? They're after them, ICE is, which is their job, to get them off the streets of the U.S. and get them out of our country if you can. Now, so, in response to this, these far lefties, I would call them Antifa types, some of them, they are against any kind of arrest and deportation of these people.
Correct.
So they confront the ICE agents at their buildings where they're detaining the illegal immigrants. Am I?
Yes.
Am I on track so far?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So what President Trump is doing, by the way, this is, fits in with what Kristi Noem said about her agents, Department of Homeland Security agents under threat. But so back to the, just to simplify things. So these, the federal building where this is happening and the agents who are protecting it, are asking for local police help, mm-hmm. right? And they're not getting it, I guess. So President Trump has said, okay, then we'll send in the federal, because the mayors of Portland and Chicago, example, would be lefties themselves. So they're not going to send the police. They're not going to allow their policemen to help ICE, right?
Yeah, we have a recording.
Okay.
Where apparently ICE officials called for help, police to come and help them.
In Chicago.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
So have a listen to this.
Okay. I want to play that,
yeah.
But just to finish this out here. So that President Trump is calling in National Guardsmen to help defend these buildings and these detention centers.
Correct.
This is different from what happened in Washington, D.C., and what might happen in Memphis and New Orleans, it's been talked about, where the National Guard would be put on the streets to do patrolling for law enforcement purposes. Mm-hmm. This is a defensive posture to protect federal assets, including people. Have I set that up pretty well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but the governors and the mayors are resisting even that.
Yes.
In these blue states. Okay. What are we about to hear, Fred?
We're going
to
hear police band radio instructing Chicago Police Department not to go to the aid of ICE agents in Chicago who were having trouble. The protests got kind of violent there. Cut number 9.
So the chief of patrol, clear everybody up. We're not responding over there.
Radio check. And again, per the chief of patrol, we have all the units that per 999, chief of patrol said all units clear out from there. We're not sending anybody over to that location.
62, we're going to clear out as soon as we can, Spud. We're like locked in over here, so we're going to do the best we can to get out of here as soon as we can.
Yeah, so there you have it. She's
it's reprehensible if the order has come down within the Chicago Police Department to not respond to requests. I'm not even sure that's legal for them to not respond to a 911 request. I don't know if it was done through the 911 system or if they just called and said, "Hey, we need some help." Ordinarily, law enforcement sticks together, whatever the level. Whether it's local, state, federal, they help each other out when they can. But if they are being told not to go and help.
Who called 911?
Apparently it was ICE, wasn't it?
That's my understanding.
ICE was asking for help in pushing back, handling the crowd that was around
Chicago.
The detention.
So they 911, Chicago PD did not come. They said don't go.
Yeah.
Don't go help.
Now. Just a couple of hours ago, the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, signed an executive order saying the city is not going to allow ICE agents. Now, we're not talking about National Guard. We're not going to allow ICE agents to gather on municipal properties to carry out an operation to arrest illegal immigrants. So if it's any property owned by the city, a parking lot, whatever the case may be, we are not going to allow. I'm not sure how legal that is.
I don't think that's legal at all. Yeah.
Anyway, just as a demonstration of how anti these cities are towards any federal assets like this, he signed an executive order saying we're not going to allow these people.
Well, they wouldn't let Kristi Noem go to the restroom.
That's true.
That's
Did you
true.
See that the other
that was
day?
That was at either a city or state. Was it a city?
No, it's a city-owned building.
Yes,
yep. City-owned building, a municipal building, and
tell
Kristi
her
Noem,
come in here.
Who's Secretary of Health and Human? Excuse me, Secretary of Homeland Security, and they told her you can't come in here, the building.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "Wait a minute." She didn't. She went somewhere else, but she said, "This building receives $1 million in federal money."
Yeah,
she found out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's also a public building.
Right.
So anybody can go in there. You don't even have to be participating in business there. You can just walk off the street, say, I got to go to the restroom and use the facilities because it's a public building. And they turned her away. So the city government of Chicago and the governor's office in Illinois is completely being combative with the federal government and federal agencies. And, you know, furthermore, you remember Governor Gavin Newsom of California, and that may have been the state legislature, too. I forgot if it was a law or an executive order from the governor's office. And he said, you got to get these masks off of ICE agents. And, of course, we know what will happen then. They'll be doxxed. And their families will be in danger.
So here's the way this probably could play out. Because you have governors, you have mayors and governors in these deep blue states that are pushing. They are pushing back against the federal government. Okay. So what happens if in Chicago ICE does gather on public land in preparation for a raid, what is Chicago going to do? Are they going to send the cops in to arrest federal government agents? And then the federal government agent says, no, you're not going to arrest us. we're going to call in the FBI and they're going to arrest you guys. You're going to arrest cops from Chicago. This is what happens when you have radicals in charge of government, whether it's city or state. Same thing in California. What are they going to do? They're going to arrest ICE agents who continue to wear their masks?
Right.
And listen,
you have to have law and order or everything breaks down.
Right.
And what the left is doing is they're saying these are unjust laws. They've decided themselves these are unjust laws. I'm talking about immigration enforcement laws. Their belief is that the left believes they don't believe in borders. That's why Biden let millions and millions of people come in here. So if fundamentally you don't believe in borders, then you really don't believe in law and order.
Right.
You really don't. So that's manifesting itself by these behaviors from these blue state governors and mayors. And I hate to say this, but I don't know what percentage, but it's got to be 25% or more of our fellow Americans. They don't believe in immigration laws either. So they're not, you know.
Not even for criminals.
No, they don't. They don't.
The ICE is going after criminals.
It's unbelievable.
Drug dealers and gang members and murderers. And the Democratic Party in these cities and states that are blue are defending.
Yes, they are.
The criminals.
Yes, they are. Well, that's where the AOC and the Bernie Sanders and that wing of the Democrat Party, where the energy is in their party.
Yeah.
Right now, they're rejecting their own establishment of the traditional Democrats. I'm talking about these lefties isn't that what happened in the 60s, though, really?
Yeah, a lot of people don't remember that the late 60s, early 70s were very violent, and there was a lot of this same kind of very hostile political division. I've told people, I've said on the air before, I was doing research for an article that I was writing when the assassination attempt was made on Trump during the campaign, that in an 18-month period between 1971 and 1972, there were 2,500 bombs that went off in the United States in 18 months. And this was from...
Was that the Weather Underground?
Weather Underground, SDS, Students for Democratic Society, Black Panthers. They were using that kind of violence. So a lot of people forget that, and some people weren't born, that this country has gone through these kinds of periods of great division. I will say this, too, in warning to the Democratic Party, as if they're listening. The Democratic Party became known in the 70s for being pro-criminal and not caring about victims, and they became the Weak on Crime Party. That helped lead to the victory of Ronald Reagan in 1980. And the Democratic Party's making the same mistake, siding with criminals and not caring about victims.
They're going to frame this the lefties, they're going to frame this as your ICE is breaking up families.
Right.
That's how they try to portray it. ICE is breaking up families. Yeah, families of criminals and gang members. Right.
If you were to ask the Democrats who would argue, like you just said, and I have no doubt, I mean, that is what they've been saying, AOC and the others. If you were to ask them, okay, fine, how about we just get rid of, that means you're in favor of these young single men being deported if they're gang members and are here illegally, right? You're in favor of that.
I think they'd be opposed to that, too.
I think they would be, which means.
Or incarcerating them.
I think
they'd be opposed to that, too.
So their argument that it's all about breaking up families is a lie.
Right, I see what you're saying, yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. All right, Fred, next story.
Well, we've got some pretty key elections coming up next month in New Jersey, governor's race there, but also in Virginia. The current governor of that state, Glenn Youngkin, is term limited. And so there's a real race on for the governor there, but also for a new attorney general in Virginia. And the candidate for that spot for the Democrats is a gentleman by the name of Jay Jones. He would like to be the Democrat attorney general of that state. Well, someone has done some research on some things he has said in the past. And in particular, there is a text now that has been made public on a verbal attack that he has made against a former speaker of the House there in Virginia. His name is Todd Gilbert. So the text Jones wrote goes something like this. Quote, three people, two bullets, Gilbert, Hitler, and Pol Pot. Gilbert gets two bullets to the head. All right? This is the Democrat who wants to be the next Attorney General of Virginia. Well, the current governor, Glenn Youngkin, was on Fox and Friends this morning. And although Jay Jones has issued an apology for what he had to say, Glenn Youngkin is not accepting that at all. Cut number 11.
I thought this was a joke because no one could write this. I mean, no, this is demented. And here we have the Democrat candidate running for attorney general, the top cop in Virginia, wishing not only that he had two bullets to put in a guy's head, but then he wishes death on his children. And Todd Gilbert has small kids. And for Jay Jones to wish death on his small children is beyond belief. But that is where the violent left of the Democrat Party is. This is where these folks are. You know, we had Charlie Kirk assassinated, and so many folks celebrated in the far left. We've had two Democrats threaten to murder two of our delegates running for office in Virginia. And now Jay Jones comes out and says that he has two bullets for Todd Gilbert's head and wants to see his children die. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Again, we're talking about politics in the state of Virginia, but this is a statewide race for who will be the next attorney general. I can't help but think that this will end this guy's chances. I don't know what the polling shows there. Who's the person running against him?
The Republican is the current attorney general.
Okay,
Mayorkas.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't know that. But anyway, a governor is the only one that's two term that can't. Okay, in the state of Virginia, you can only be governor for one term,
mm-hmm.
one consecutive term, right?
Yes.
Where most states allow for two yes. consecutive terms. Anyway, but you stay in the AG office, you can. Okay, so the current AG, which is a Republican, whose name escapes me.
Jason Mayorkas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So this Democrat running against him, as Governor Youngkin was talking about, there's a text of him saying that the ought to be murdered, saying that whoever.
Yeah. He says this Jay Jones. Question whether Gilbert and his wife were, quote, breeding little fascists, end quote, and then reportedly wished for the deaths of Gilbert's children and said this, only when people feel pain personally do they move on policy, which okay. is just a ridiculously abhorrent thing to say.
And Gilbert is referring to the Republican House Speaker.
Yes.
Okay. So how do you now the current fellow running for governor, Democrat?
It's a lady, actually.
Excuse me, Spanberger.
Yes.
I know people in Virginia are going, get your facts right. Okay, I'm trying to, but I can't keep up with 50 states,
right.
All their names and everything. I try. I can 44 states I can keep up with. You get beyond that, you know what I'm saying?
While you're climbing 22,000 feet.
You know. It gets yep. taxing on a yep. person mentally and physically. But so Spanberger, the lady running for governor, the Democrat who's ahead in the polls against Winsome Sears.
Correct.
She said this, I spoke frankly with Jay, talking about the guy who issued these saying that the Republican House Speaker ought to be murdered and his kids. I spoke with Jay about my disgust and what he said and texted. I made clear to Jay that he must take full responsibility for his words. I will always condemn violent language in our politics. Well, that's all good and fine, but that's unacceptable. You got to call for him to resign and let somebody else run as the Democrat in that position. You could, what does it mean to take full responsibility for your words when your words are, my political opponent should be assassinated?
Right.
Especially in the climate that we live in today, well, anytime. But this is just, again, violence threatened from who? The political left in this country.
And you can imagine if this was all reversed.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
Well, and this is the way Jay Jones defended himself. He did say he regretted what he sent. And this is, quote, this is what he said.
You're going to quote him?
I'm going to quote him.
Okay.
Quote, like all people, I've sent text messages that I regret, and I believe that violent rhetoric has no place in our politics, end quote. To which I say, first of all, baloney. I think you said what you believe. This is exactly what the radical left has said, starting with Antifa back in 2020. Punch a fascist in the face.
Right.
It's justified to use violence against fascists. And that is clearly what Jay Jones said. Now, when he says, I regret it, it's because he's running for office and wants to try to skate. But listen, I've sent text messages that I regret. I've sent them to my wife and regretted it immediately. I shouldn't have hit send. I'm just kidding about that part. But that's not what this is. This isn't saying, hey, the pot roast last night was terrible. Get your act together.
Yeah,
this I wouldn't do that either. I want children to be murdered.
Yeah. I don't see how this guy survives this. Because I think that kind of thing could drag the whole Democrat ticket down in Virginia, potentially, just like what happened 4 years ago when the governor,
you're talking about Terry McAuliffe?
Yeah, McAuliffe. Remember the Loudoun County school situation? He said parents should have no right to be involved in decisions in schools. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yep.
This could be that kind of moment. We'll be back momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.